If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Matt Stevens, our Illini guy staff writer who does a lot of work all year round. You'll see him writing about the basketball team in the winter, and obviously those folks who've been reading all the golf stories. Matt's covered the golf team, and of course his main beat is the football team. And today, on Thursday, June 8th, was a massive day where the Big Ten announced their 24 and 25 football schedules, which incorporate two teams that you may have heard a little bit about, USC and UCLA, in their first year and of course in the Big Ten, and of course the first year of the new supercharged Big Ten TV contract. So it is really a pretty auspicious day, Matt, when they announced this. You know, there's a few things that are going on in terms of protecting rivalries. There's obviously a, you know, 9-game season in the Big Ten. Take us through what you thought were the most important things as you watched this unveil today.
So the first thing, I guess maybe it's just because of the way I look at things, it's the thing that died. And the thing that died is divisions. And I think that Illinois fans specifically and a lot of fan bases in the West were hanging on to the straw hope that divisions were somehow going to be a part of this, even though I think they kind of understood it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But when it doesn't happen, Mike, this is what happens, which is you get hit with a 9-game conference schedule right in the face of, oh boy, we got no games we can just kind of walk through anymore in the Big Ten. And I don't know if – here's what I was really impressed with Illinois is and quite frankly, the fan base, is that I didn't see a whole lot on social media that, boy, we got screwed on this schedule. Like, because I think they looked at all their other, you know, colleagues in the Big Ten and all their other friends in the Big Ten, and they went, dang, your schedule's hard too. And when you add USC and you add UCLA – to the mix and in a 16 team league where you're going to play 9 games and you don't have divisions anymore, which basically eliminate, you know, let's just call it what it is. The fact is that it's eliminated the idea that Illinois was always going to play Ohio State and Michigan in the same season, or Ohio State and Penn State, or Michigan and Penn State in the same season, allowing for the possibility of when we play the schedule game in the months that we're in now of June, July, and August, hey, how do we get to 6? How do we get to 7? You know, what can we kind of look at here from a schedule standpoint? What's always been interesting to me since I've started covering the Big Ten is that fans don't typically do that anymore, simply because there's not a whole lot of games that you can mark in WRL and in Penn in this league, quite frankly. Even though if you're an Ohio State, you feel like you ought to win the league every year, or if you're a Michigan, you feel like you know, Michigan's run the table in the Big Ten the last 2 years, and won the league. So you've got those two big boys, and then you bring in Southern Cal, which I think Southern Cal under Lincoln Riley feels like we're going to enter this league and we're going to win it, you know, wholeheartedly, like year one, that's the goal. And that's, you know, I say goal, but that might be the expectation in West, you know, in Southern California. And, you know, for the people that go to the games in the Coliseum right now and you know, cheer for their War Trojans, like they think that they can win that league. And that's part of the reason I think USC fans are excited about that. Same way that, you know, UCLA basketball fans and quite frankly, UCLA baseball fans right now feel like they're going to win the league the minute that they walk into it in basketball and baseball. So when you look at it that way, so the elimination of divisions, I thought, made the realization of what Illinois' schedule was going to look like a stark reality of, oh God, this is going to be a lot harder. Quite frankly, this is just going to be a lot more difficult. And I think that fans came to that realization a lot quicker. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised that they did. And so when you look at a 24 schedule, and we'll get into it, I think Illinois got a bear of a schedule in 24. And I think Illini fans feel like that's going to be Brett Bielema's, you know, fourth year in the program with all of his guys. And if you look at it from the perspective of all of the Lovie Smith guys potentially and probably are going to be gone off this roster, it's going to be all of Brett Bielema's guys. That's a bear of a schedule to be given, you know, when you think the program needs to be fully turned over. And now we're rolling with expectations that we should be in the mix of this thing. That's a tough road to hoe. And I know that we'll get into the scheduling, but the elimination of divisions for schools in the West, and specifically the, like I would say the heartland schools of the Western Division, I think they got a stark reality of what certain schools in the East have been dealing with. And when you look at the schedule and go, oh God, we got Michigan and Ohio State and USC all in the same year, you know, okay, let's figure this out. And it really makes it a bear of a league schedule. And I think Illinois fans saw that start in stark reality when they started looking at the 2024 slate.
Yeah, you beat those three teams and you're undefeated. You know, you're gonna
beat those three teams and you think you're gonna go to Indy. That's honest to God. I mean, if let's put it this way. I thought I saw that, you know, Illinois, Rutgers, and UCLA are the only schools in 2024 that are gonna play Michigan, Ohio State, and USC.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, if you're Chip Kelly and you're out in Westwood and you're at UCLA and you go, hey, if we go 3-0 in those games, we're winning the league. And like we're playing at home in the Rose Bowl. Like we're getting the Big Ten title game and we're going to go to that playoff. So that's part of this too. And I also think that you start to feel the stark reality also of what has been added. I talked about what has been taken away, which is divisions. What has been added is more travel. And Illinois fans, again, saw that in stark reality because in 2024, they will go from now what is now coast to coast of the Big Ten. They will play a road game at Southern Cal and they will play a road game at Rutgers. And we don't know the dates yet. I would assume that's not in back-to-back weeks because if it is, that's now Big Ten is now coast to coast and you have to look at it from, you know, what's our travel going to be like in these four or five road games that we have in league play. And I think Illinois looked at that. And if you look at Illinois slate, it's like, boy, man, like there's a lot of ways to look at it. I tend to look at it, you know, in a horse blinders type of way where like I look at it from Illinois' perspective, because that's my job.
Yep.
And I go, there's two ways to look at this. One is, okay, we got Ohio State and we got Michigan and we got USC all in the same year in 2024. But also every year you're going to have Purdue and Northwestern. And if Drew Brees isn't on Purdue and Northwestern's not coming up with some sort of Cinderella season, you feel like you should be able to be really competitive with your two rival schools that the Big Ten has handed you, at least in the next 2 years, because we don't know what the heck this league is going to look like after 2025, quite frankly. So I also do like the fact that they didn't do it more than 2 years and didn't peg themselves for more than 2 years. But, you know, if this is going to be a permanent thing, 16-team Big Ten, having Purdue and Northwestern as your permanents is a competitive situation for the University of Illinois and the program that currently Brett Bielema is the head coach of.
Yeah, and I actually wondered, there's a part of me that if we'd had a competent athletic director, you know, during the Gunther era and then Mike Thomas, you know, the funny thing was, is when Gunther got into to his chair, the Illinois football program was probably roughly on par with Iowa and ahead of Wisconsin. And I thought it was kind of interesting because if you had a different 30 years where Illinois was again, competently run and competently hiring coaches, right, you know, you probably would have had our protected games. They might have felt obligated to protect the Northwestern game. But when you look at the quality of states, you could see where, you know, they might say, you know, Iowa, Wisconsin would be guaranteed games because if Illinois had had any competency that last 30 years, those would have been some great rivalries. But because Illinois stunk so bad, those schools went up into a different stratosphere and Illinois really was kind of irrelevant as a rival. But boy, you go back into the 80s and early 90s, those Illinois Iowa games, you know, that those were tooth and nail fought because you had, Hayden Fry on one side and either Mike White or John Makovic on the other. Then when it,
well, you know, came, who knows that, Mike, is Brett Bielema.
Oh, Brett Bielema, Brett Bielema, you know, Brett and I aren't that far apart in age.
Right.
And I'm sure he's aware of that. And I'm sure he wants to put together that 20 or 30 years, you know, that Hayden put together for the Hawkeyes. I'm sure he wants to do that for Illinois.
I just know that Brett has walked into Memorial Stadium wearing black and gold, wearing a black and gold uniform, and the atmosphere was pretty lit. My response to you on that, and quite frankly, my response to every Iowa fan is, not every trophy game that you have was going to get, you know, put in place here. Like, you weren't going to be able to save all six trophy games that you play for every year. Darn it. And I thought the Big Ten did a yeoman's job of giving Iowa three permanents and going, well, we'll save half your trophy games, by God. And the television people love the Black Friday game that you play against Nebraska, so we're keeping that sucker. And so we'll save three of your trophy games, but we're not saving the six trophy games. I think Iowa's now guaranteed to have four trophy games if you count the Cyhawk that they play every year against Iowa State. But that trophy game you play against Illinois, no, that's going away. Like that.
Oh no,
that,
I agree. And I'm sure they'll still have the trophy, and it'll be, you know, you'll have it.
It's
for
fine.
Two,
like
years.
Keep it. Yeah. Like, you know, honest to God, like, I mean, play for it. I mean, Illinois used to always play the trophy game against, it's the Illibuck that they play against Ohio State, and you know, but they don't play Ohio State.
Let's go back to that because I've seen a couple people talking about how, you know, Illinois doesn't stand a shot against Ohio State. And, you know, as somebody who's been a fan here for years, sure, I got to say that, you know, if Illinois has, and this is where people really don't understand us old guys, but if Illinois has their stuff together, you know, people forget that in the 80s, now again, back when I was, you know, college age, sure, you know, they won 5 years in a row games against Ohio State, you know, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. And then they also had, of course, the 83 and 85 victories, you know, the 83 on the way to the Rose Bowl. So there was a period of time there, you know, that Illinois had basically beat, you know, in a decade was up 7-3 on Ohio State. And those were not bad Ohio State teams. No. And so that's the sleeping giant that I think Brett Bielema sees when he thinks about the Illini. And to me, that's the one that ultimately, you know, I think that if there's an opportunity, that's where Illinois, you know, it's going to take time. And there's these two division or one division. At some point, if you want to get to the top, you're going to have to beat Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and USC, so we can divide it up however you want. But as we look at it, you know, I look at those things and I say, you know, Illinois has the opportunity to get there. They need the right coach. And to be honest with you, it's been 30 years of crap. And it's easy for me to say, because I'm not billionaire Mike, but a couple of these big money donors are going to have to take a leap of faith that Brett Bielema and his staff can take this to the next level. Because if you wait for them to take it to the next level to help them, they will never take it to the next level. And that's just the reality. So I'm telling you right now, if you're thinking about, you know, donating to Illinois NIL and you got questions, hit me at Mike@IlliniGuys.com. But the bottom line is, you know, Mark Andreessen or you name the Illinois alum who's a billionaire, many of them out of Silicon Valley. But right. A few of those guys decide that they want to be like Drew Brees is. Illinois, then all of a sudden, I really think, and this is just my opinion, I like Ryan Day as a coach. He is not the best coach in the Big Ten. He may have the best record because he got handed the program, you know, that was in ungodly good shape. Mm-hmm. And he has done wonderfully with it. I'm not at all criticizing him. But when you talk about a coach who's been through the battles, figured out, you know, how to win at a disadvantage, figured out, you know, what you do to when you don't have the best funding, the best facilities, the best boosters. Brett Bielema's done a really good job when you take a look at three Big Ten titles. And it to me, it's it, there's a countdown with Illinois football is when are the and it's just this new world of NIL, but when are the people who back Illinois? And there, Illinois has one of the biggest alumni bases in the country, top 10 yep. or 12, depending on who you look at. And when you look at billionaires, probably higher ranked than that. And at some point when these billionaires go, wow, we're gonna put our chips in on Bielema, I think you're gonna see this program elevate to a level because I gotta be honest with you. Right now he's having to use his limited NIL funds to keep players here, not to acquire players.
Right.
He doesn't have as much money in the portal, so he's got to be very strategic on who he goes after. So he doesn't. One thing that I think he does very well is he doesn't chase his tail and go after people that he's got no shot at. And then the other thing is he is one of the few coaches that you can look at who can identify talent that other people don't identify and get him into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to be more under the radar than other coaches when they recruit, because he'll find those kids first, and you can't be the bird dog for the teams that have more NIL to go, oh, look at that. Bielema just found a guy in, you know, Macon, Georgia. We need to go in there. You know, the Bulldogs need to go in there with some money and make sure he never goes to Illinois.
Sure.
And so that is really critical. And the Illinois fan PTSD, which is, you and I disagree on this, but I've been in sales, so I'll tell you, this is one of the times I probably won't defer as much.
No.
But I think there's a lot of Illini fans who've lived through this last 30 years who still have a little bit of a prove it to me, and I'm hoping that they find how entertaining this team is and start to go watch them, because ultimately, for me, and I'm only speaking as one fan, but my excitement about college sports, which has been a little bit taken away by the transfer portal, is right. Watching guys develop, and you go, remember that kid who we didn't know what position he was and we couldn't figure out why they recruited him? Sure. Well, now he's an All-American safety, you right. know, and you go, wow, that was a great, how did they see that come, you know, and you watched a guy develop, and that's what Bielema does. But he's going to need NIL money, because if you're going to go up against Ohio State, you're going to have a few blue chippers. You're going to have a few positions that you can dominate. And you can't always, year in and year out, expect the coaching staff is going to find the three-star, two-star, one-star, zero-star who's going to go fifth in the NFL, which obviously Lovie Smith's staff identified and Brett Bielema's staff developed.
Correct. I'm glad that's an excellent transition, actually, Mike, because you talked about the fans prove it to me, which is, we disagree on this, but I feel like it's a constant pardon the pun, but moving of the goalposts for Illini fans that just don't want to support Illini football. Like deep down, if you really injected them in sodium pentothal, like I just really don't want to see that money go anywhere but basketball.
But people do things for a reason though, Matt.
Oh, I understand. And I don't disagree with you on that. But to that point and to the transition, look, I looked at this 24 schedule, Mike, and it immediately made me believe and made me think how critical this 23 season is for Brett Bielema, just from a momentum standpoint, just from a, if you've got fans that are still saying, prove it to me before I jump fully in, okay, then you got to have one badass of a 23 season, which I think a lot of people at Illinois think is possible. Like it's the last year of the West, you could win the West, the last Western division, you could get to Indy. All of those things are possible. If you do that, quite frankly, then the 24 slate looks a little less daunting because you're one of the big boys heading into 24, even though a lot of the stars, you know, turn over. You know, Johnny Newton's not going to be there in 24, and Keith Randolph's not going to be there in 24, and a lot of those offensive line pieces aren't going to be there in 24. They're going to be in the NFL. But if you have a great 23 and then you get fans bought in and go, okay, well, I can see where this is headed. This is going to be good. That's kind of critical now when you look at the 24 slate, because if you drop the ball in 23 and now you look at the 24 slate and go,
ooh,
like that's the way I can describe it and compare it to, Mike, is when Illinois last year in 22 lost that home game to Michigan State and everybody kind of went, well, I know where this is headed again. And yep. then attendance dropped off by about 10, 12,000, 13,000 for the Purdue game, which they lost again. And you saw like the peter off of the season. And I'm not saying that people have made this argument to me and it's a good point, but I'm like, I'm not saying that 5,000 more people in the stands would have made a difference.
Right.
But I'm saying that people right now, unfortunately, and you've talked about this Illini football PTSD. I feel like sometimes fans right now, when they follow Illini football, are waiting for the other shoe to drop and the bad shoe to drop. They keep waiting for it to happen because they've seen it happen so many times. And when they saw it happen against Michigan State, they were like, well, I've seen this before.
And that's the point. I'm not trying to make excuses
no, I understand.
For fans, but really what they've seen over the last 30 years is inept athletic directors hiring inept coaches who then stay 2, 3, 4, they shouldn't have been hired. They stay more years than they should. And then the Illinois fans, look, the bottom line is if every time you said the word Illinois, somebody put $100 bill in your hand, pretty soon you'd just be Illinois, and you replicate behavior that's good for you. Mm-hmm. And if you said the word, you know, Michigan Wolverines, you said that combination of words, you got hit with a board, but you wouldn't be saying that anymore. And unfortunately, Illinois fans, you know, you had the 2001 season, you're thinking, well, maybe this guy can coach, maybe things will go well. And then you had the next year and the year after, right. You know, and then you had the 2007 season and then 2008, one of the most disappointing, and then it never got there. And then of course you had the coaches who were never worse, you know, like Beckman. Mm-hmm. And so Illinois fans have learned, like, I'm not going to get my hopes up. And yet when you listen to the players, it's very interesting. You listen to the players like David Williams, you know, who played under Mike White. Mm-hmm. He can't figure it out because his experience of coming to Illinois was with a great football coach, Mike White, an excellent athletic director, Neil Stoner. And so he's like, why can't Illinois be great? And I think that's where Brett Bielema, with his organizational skills, his ability to identify talent, his ability to, develop talent, I think. And then when you give him, because Josh Whitman, you know, nobody's perfect. Neither guy is perfect. But Josh Whitman right. is giving the Illini coaches good resources.
Right.
And so, you know, I think maybe a player who now, does his first year in 2023 and is here through 2027 may go, yeah, this is a great place to play, and have a totally different experience than those people in that literally 30-year window. From,
well, Bielema has said it so much on social media tonight, also Thursday night, and by basically tweeting out, it's a new era of Illini football, folks. Like, I don't want to hear this stuff
anymore. I agree with him.
Like, I get it. I'm just pointing out that you've got a head coach now that is saying, this is different. Like,
well,
trust
he's doing,
me,
he's doing a sales technique there.
No, I understand. He's a marketing grad.
New territory. Yeah, you divorce yourself from the bad part of the past, you know. And
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Exactly. And all I can do is affect how things go today and in the future. And
to that point, though, Mike. Yeah. And to that point, though, Mike, again, how critical is this 2023 season when you look at that? Because I can't stress enough how if Illinois goes and wins 8-9 games again this year and is a player in the West and has a chance to get to Indy at the end of this 2023 season, the 2024 slate looks less daunting. Because now you're a big boy. You are starting to figure out how to get into that tier of Iowa and Wisconsin and go, I know nobody nationally wants to talk about us, but we can go beat them, you know, and we can be a player in this. Like, and I love my roster and I love the evaluations that I've had over time, and we can do this. This is possible. And so, and then you start to get to 25. And you look at that schedule and you go, okay, maybe this is Luke Altmaier's third year as a starter. And that's when, you know, you start to go, okay, well, maybe that's the year where we take it to the next tier, you know? And so, but it all has to happen because you had success in 23. You like Bielema talks about stacking days. Illinois fans talk about stacking seasons.
That's so exactly where they have to be.
So if you stack that 23 season on top of that 22 season, you now entered the 2024 season, which right now on June 8th, 2023, looks like one hell of a bear schedule for the University of Illinois and its football program. I'm sorry, but like if you put Illinois in a look, here's the deal. In a prior life where USC isn't in the Big Ten, okay? If there was an athletic director that put a schedule together that had Ohio State, Michigan, and then you had a non-conference game against USC, that athletic director, every fan and Illinois fan would look at that athletic director and go, and what the hell did you just do to us?
They would say, Ron Gunther?
Yeah, you would say, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. Like, what are you doing to your football coach? Like, and so that's the bear of now a 16-team Big Ten with this many big boys. And you're going to play 9 games. But my point being is that if you become a player, let's say in that second tier of the Big Ten, because you described it perfectly. If you want to win the Big Ten, you know who you have to go through. You have to go through Columbus. You have to go through Ann Arbor. You have to go through State College. And you got to go through Los Angeles. And that's the way it's got to be. But for the schools like Illinois and Iowa and Wisconsin, and I'm telling you, and we're going to get here, but I'm telling you, I've talked to enough coaching staffs that they're like, I asked a lot about this 25 schedule. And I'm like, you know, the team you're not going to want to see in 25. And that's Nebraska. Like, because.
Yeah. Rule's always better the second, but usually it's the third year that he really clicks
and
it
they,
in, which
those
that'll
folks
be.
Are those folks are ready to rock and roll with NIL and everything that comes with it. Everything you just described. Coaches are fully prepared for Nebraska to be a thing again. And Illinois gets them.
And just so you know, I'm a Cowboy fan. And the one thing that we share in common with Nebraska fans is our teams have been worthless since the 1990s.
Oh, nobody as somebody who, you know, lived that era as a teenager. I understand there ain't nobody in college football that lives in the mid 90s a hell of a lot more than Nebraska. Like I swear.
Yeah, no,
but anyway, if you can stack the 23 season on top of the 22 season, you go into the 24 season as probably still an underdog, but not a massive underdog in those key three games that you're going to have to basically figure out a way to scratch out something. And that's the key, is that I looked at the 24 schedule at first and said, oh boy, they handed Illinois a hell of a schedule. But then I looked at it and also thought, you know what, if Illinois wins 8 or 9 games in 23, guess what? they're going to be the dark horse team that everybody's talking about in 24, because you're going to have the opportunity to pull off some of this. You're going to have the opportunity in front of a heck of a lot of people and a heck of a lot of eyeballs to pull off some massive wins in 2024 that could jumpstart this program like it's never been seen before since you said it, the Mike White, John McAvick days.
Yeah.
So that's where I said, and I also think from a regional standpoint, for the people that are even older, especially older than me, but also older than you, Mike Cagney, to have the two permanents be Purdue and Northwestern, for the older people that still appreciate the Big Ten for what it was way, way back in the day, I think that they can appreciate the cannon game and the hat game, basically still having something that they can regionally feel like, hey, the two guys that, you know, are the shortest driving distance from the campus in Champaign-Urbana, those games still existing. I thought the Big Ten did a really good job with this, I have to say, because they didn't force feed rivalries that aren't rivalries. If yep. you only have one permanent rival, like say, I'm sorry, but Ohio State needs to play Michigan. They don't need to play anybody else. Okay. And USC needs to play UCLA. They don't need to play anybody else. Right. And so they didn't force feed it. And I thought Iowa needs three rival games. Like they can't have a rotating one. Like, they have to have the three permanents because that's important to those people. So they gave them three permanents. So they did this in a schedule that makes regional sense for individual fan bases, but it also gives the television partners that just paid $7 billion for the product a chance to get some really, really good matchups throughout the entire season. And I think whoever put this together and the amount of time they took to do it did a really good job.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. I'll throw out one last thing and then I want to go sure. into the schedules, but for fans who think I'm making excuses the last 30 years, the thing that I would tell you is that Brett Bielema led that team to a winning record last year, the 2022 football season, after 10 years in a row of losing records. Mm-hmm. Now, Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Mm-hmm. Since 1951, how many seasons of losing records has Ohio State had in total?
Losing records. My guess is you could probably count them on one hand, so I'll go three.
Okay, you're a little bit low.
Okay.
But five.
Okay.
So in the last
on one hand, yeah.
Yeah, so you were correct, but
right.
you were correct with your first statement and a little low with your second.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll give you that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in 71 years, they've had five losing seasons.
Sure.
I'm just telling you, in the last 10 years, or last 11 years, Illinois had 10. And so that's what the PTSD that Bielma's got to fight. And he's got to be tired of it because he had nothing to do with the situation that's arose. I'm glad he's trying to divorce himself from the past. And I hope at some point, it takes a leap of faith, and the fan base is going to have to do it, and the NIL contributors are going to have to do it. And the sooner that that leap of faith comes, I think the more successful Illinois will be. So now let's head into real quick. So this season, 2023, Illinois plays Toledo, Kansas, and Florida Athletic outside of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily an easy schedule.
No. No, it's not. Toledo won the MAC. I don't know if anybody I've said this every time I get a chance.
I know who the point guard was who was right.
Yeah. He doesn't play football.
right.
And he ain't coming to Illinois, so he won't be at the game. But Toledo won the MAC, and Toledo has a program that is historically been, I would say, the bell cow program of the Mid-American Conference. And they're going to come in, and they're probably going to be somewhere around a double-digit point underdog. So Illinois is probably going to be around a 10-point favorite, probably not more, and a little bit more, not a little bit less. But that program is going to come in and thinking they're going to win that game in Champaign. I mean, they have the potential of, you know, 2 years ago when UTSA came in and beat Illinois in Memorial Stadium. That's a possibility. Okay. And then you saw what happened the first 6 weeks of last year with Kansas when their quarterback was healthy. He's healthy again and he's playing. And the game's in Lawrence. And oh, by the way, now Illinois is on a short week because it was also announced today that that game's going to be on a Friday night in Lawrence. And by the way, Kansas is going to open up the season on August 31st, which means they have extra days to prepare. So that's going to be a bear. And then, oh, by the way, Florida Atlantic's now coached by Tom Herman. And they went portaling a whole bunch this year. Trust me, I have two close friends that are on that staff. They went portaling a whole bunch, and they think they're going to be pretty good. And, you know, that's not that far removed from Lane Kiffin putting together one hell of a program in Boca Raton. So, no, that's not an easy schedule. And then, you know, we all know what the 2022 schedule is. 23 schedule is, I'm sorry. And so you've got that going for you. But what I'm saying to you is that I think there is a possibility with the amount of talent that Illinois has coming back and experienced talent coming back, that Illinois has a chance to replicate what they did last year. And if they do that, then that's going to be a momentum building occurrence that they need to have happen before they hit this 24 schedule.
Yep. Totally agree. So there's reason for hope, and the only quote big hitter of the Big Ten that Illinois plays next year would be Penn State. They play them early, and that is a kind of a murderer's row there. Toledo, Kansas, Penn State, Florida Atlantic. That's a tough four games. If Illinois could somehow, and I'm not saying they will, but if they were found a way to come out of that 4-0, holy cow, you'd be looking at a heck of a year. But again, you play Nebraska, but Rule's a great coach, but I don't know if he can turn everything around first year. Maybe he can.
Not in play the first year.
Yeah, play with Wisconsin. Fickell's a good coach, but you know, he's going to do the players that are existing fit what he likes to do. We'll find out. PJ Fleck, you know, he wins 8 games a year. And so
that's the disappointing thing of Minnesota not being on the schedule anymore consistently and being a West rival, quote unquote, to Illinois. Brett Bielema has never lost to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Period. It's never happened. And I don't think it's going to start this year, to be honest. Yeah. I think Illinois is favored to win that game, or at least should be.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know, Indiana, Iowa, Northwestern. So, and along with playing, you know, Maryland and Purdue. So it's a nice schedule for the Illini. So that kind of sets you up this year. There's an opportunity, and you know, a lot of it's going to be on how good Luke Altmaier is, and a lot of it's going to be on the injury situation. Can Illinois stay injury free throughout the season, which you know, it isn't something you can plan on, but something you can certainly hope for. So now we look at the 2024 conference opponents, and right. I don't have the non-cons in front of me, but the conference.
I know them. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So 2024. Do you know who the non-conference is in 2024?
So Kansas is the return game.
Okay.
And so they return to Champaign, and then they play Eastern Illinois and a MAC opponent. I believe it's Western Michigan, but it's a MAC opponent. So those are your three that are going to be in 2024.
So one of them's pretty
you need
tough.
To go. I'm
you go 3-0 there, really.
You need to go 3-0 in those suckers because you've got a bear of a 9 games hitting you in the face.
Yeah. So and so 2024, on top of everything else, there's only 4 Big Ten home games. So you'll have Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, and Purdue. So the Michigan seems to be showing no signs of slowing down.
Nope.
Purdue, Ryan Walters they'll be in his second year. It's logical to assume that he'll start elevating.
Uh-huh.
And Drew Brees will have had a couple years to spend money. Maryland, it's hard to tell where Loxley goes with this team. They're always talented. And Iowa's Iowa. They're going to play good defense, and they might score 3 to 5 points.
as long as Phil Parker and Kirk Ferentz are there, they're going to play good defense and they're going to play great special teams. And you would think at some point they're going to start scoring points. Like, and, you know,
yep, yeah, at some point, if Brian Ferentz, you know, if he can just hang in there. Now, when you go on the road in 2024, we have Michigan State, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, USC. So Ohio State, USC, Michigan, what you talked about, the three of the big four teams, ooh, Illinois will play in 2024.
Mm-hmm. And I there's a sentiment on our boards right now, Mike, that, okay, lose those three and win the other six. Well, that's nice to say, like, but yeah, I don't think Brett Bielema looks at it that way. And I think he looks at those three games just like he looked at the Michigan road game last year and said, I'm going to go in there and win.
And he looked totally agree with you.
He looked at the Wisconsin road game last year and said, I'm going to go in that sucker and win it. And he's done this before. He looked at the Penn State road game last year, 2 years ago in his first year, and said, I'm going to go in there and win it. And I feel like he thinks it's possible, but like, that's a bear. I don't like, again, here's the crux of it. We don't know when these games are going to be.
Right, right.
And so when you play somebody, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, when you play somebody is almost as important as who you play. And I know that people don't believe that, but like, the team you sometimes, even in a football season, the team you see in September is not the team that ends up the same team in November. You know,
but there's no easy that, there's no easy games on that one, man.
No, there isn't,
because Michigan State will have you know, Mel will still be there, but their NIL funds are clearly, you know, when you got,
they have to go portaling every year at this point. They have to do it,
and they will do it, and they have the money. They will do it. You know, I'm a huge believer that Greg Schiano should have never left Rutgers, but he's a good coach. So I would anticipate that 2 years from now, Rutgers will be in a much better place than they are today, mm-hmm. which is not saying a lot right now, but.
That was the interesting part of this whole thing, not to drive us off the cliff, but like, if you look at it from Rutgers' perspective, okay, we're finally out of the East. And then that first non-divisional schedule, guess what? They get Ohio State, they get Michigan, and they get UCLA. It's like, congratulations, boys. Like, I mean.
Oh, and you forgot one. You forgot one.
Penn State?
They also have Penn State. I mean, it's like, goodness gracious. I mean.
So we can't get out of the East, but we still can't get away from Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Thanks a lot, boys. Like, I mean, Greg Schiano's got to be pulling what's left of his hair out. Like,
and,
at this
and
point.
How will Chip Kelly's offense, will it wreak havoc with Big Ten defenses? I'm telling you.
I think so.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a given that they're not going to do well.
No, I think Chip's done really, really well in Westwood, and he's done it the right way, because his first – I think a lot of people were worried because his first few years, they were not very good record wise. And I think he was building something. People need to understand, if you go back and you watch old Chip Kelly, Oregon, I know this because the coach I used to cover at Mississippi State, Dan Mullen, went over to Eugene and like did the whole, hey, let me sit and get, you know, just chalk it up with you for about a week. And what people need to understand about Chip and UCLA that's coming to the Big Ten is that I think a lot of people, Mike, and you know this because you're older than I am, but like you've seen that, like, you know, UCLA and that in the Rose Bowl, and they wear those powder blue uniforms. And I'm not going to go Ed Orgeron here because that didn't go well for him, but like, I'm not going to go into like the sissy blue stuff, but like, I think a lot of people see UCLA football and they think, you know, they're going to try to win this with finesse. That's not how Chip plays. Like, this is a power-based running attack that it's always been at Oregon, and it's a power-based running attack at UCLA. They just do it out of a weird formation. Just do it out of weird formations with tempo.
Spread the field, yeah.
Yeah, and tempo, but they run it down your throat, and they always have been based in that. And Chip's done a really, really good job with that. And so I think that's going to translate just fine with what he wants to do on both sides of the ball, especially at the line of scrimmage, just fine. so that when Illinois sees them in 25, I think it's going to be a physical game. And people have seen that before. The Illinois played in the bowl game, and it was a physical football game, you know, in San Francisco when they played at UCLA. So, the 24 slate, the only thing, I said this to a friend of mine, like there are certain schools where you just don't know where they're going to be. Like, yeah. I need to see what's going to go down in 23 in Madison before I figure out what the heck Wisconsin's going to be 2, 3, 4 years from now. Like, I don't know what this Phil Longo thing is going to do, but I need to see it because that's right. going to totally dictate where they are. I need to see this Brian Ferentz thing either flop or completely turn everything around. Not completely, but like
he's maybe had enough time though. I mean, no offense, yeah. but he's had enough time that, you know, what did Maya Angelou said when somebody tells you what they are, pay attention.
Believe
or,
him.
Denny Green, you know, they are what they're, I guess, Parcells.
They are what they said they were, you know, they are what we thought they were.
Yeah, yeah, and then Parcells, you are what your record says you are. So
exactly.
So let's go forward to 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have
my only point, though, is on the 2024 schedule for Illinois, look at like the Indiana game. I don't know who their coach is going to be.
Right.
Yeah. And if anybody in Bloomington tells you it's going to be Tom Allen, they're lying to you. So, like, I don't know what that's going to be. And then I don't know what Michigan State's going to look like because they're going to have like 60 new players by the time the 24 season shows are up. I mean, right, they always have right. with Mel Tucker. So that's the difficult part about this. But I think if you're Brett Bielema and you keep stacking seasons again, okay, and you start continually having the same kind of culture with your locker room so that a lot of players don't walk out the door. He's been pretty darn good about that. I got to give Brett a lot of his props on this. The culture that he's built in Champaign has been transfer portal proof for the most part. Okay.
Yep.
So I think that you have a chance to build something there, but yeah, so the 24 schedule is a bear unless the 23 schedule looks freaking awesome, because then you can build on that, not only with your next recruiting class, but with the guys that are going to come back to play on that 24 team. And then maybe you can go in the portal and say, hey boys, like we've done this for 2 years now, we've proven we can be a high tier team in the Big Ten. Why don't you come play here? Like,
I agree.
And then you get the Kathleen Knights and the Illini Guardians of the world saying, hey, let's pump some money into this sucker and see if we can make this a player. So the 23 success that needs to happen could instantly change the transformative nature of how I look at that 24 schedule, because right now I think it's a bear, but let's go to 25.
Yeah, 25. So do you, off the top of your head, do you know who the non-cons are? So
then that's the road game against Duke. And then two MAC opponents. I know one is Ohio. And I think the other, I think that one is Western Michigan. The one in 24 is Central Michigan. So it's two MAC opponents again. And then the road game at Duke.
And because you remember terrifying that used to be to have a MAC opponent when we had different head coaches. Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying we're going to just beat them, but it's a lot different now with Bielema around.
Absolutely. And also I do like the fact that, again, this goes back to your theory of having a competent athletic director. When Josh Whitman signs the home and homes, the Big Ten solidified the four home games you get, and then the five home games you get, that solidified. That doesn't change.
Yep.
So that when you schedule the game at Raleigh-Durham and Duke, okay, that's cool because we have five home games in league play.
Exactly.
That's how that works. And if you're that's not just for fans and season ticket holders that say, hell yeah, I'm always going to get seven games. But like, that's why Josh Whitman did that. I mean, because he knew at the time, we're going to have five home games in 25. Well, that solidified for Illinois. And I think that that was a big deal, because if you were doing it the other way, and now it's six home games and six road games, that's even more of a bear. But yeah, no, they go to Duke and then they play two MAC games. And again, might want to try to go 3-0 in that sucker if you can.
Well, and then the home schedule, I'm not saying it's easy, but it, you know, again, there's very few W's in the Big Ten, but you've got Indiana, Minnesota, Northwestern, okay, some team called Ohio State, and UCLA. So for Illinois fans, you know, showing up, there's some good games. You got your rivalry game. You got Ohio State. You got UCLA. PJ Fleck is annoying as heck, and his teams are always good. And Indiana, you know, we want revenge for last year. So
you think five, Cassie Arner is going to have trouble selling the 25 season ticket packages to that
if she does, then I think maybe by that time, though, then I think we're talking about maybe, you know, I need to relook at my PTSD theory. And then on the road, Nebraska, but that'll be year three of the rural experiment.
That rural era, yeah.
Yep. Penn State, Purdue, and that'll be year three of former Illini defensive coordinator, and year three of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That could be a tough thing, but then you have to remember that it's year five of Bielma.
Correct. And so when I looked at the 25 schedule, that's what I looked at, which was, okay, there's no trip to Ann Arbor. There's no trip to Columbus. Correct me if I'm wrong again. Is there a trip to Penn State?
Yeah, 25 okay. Would be Nebraska, Penn
they
State.
They go to Happy Purdue, Valley in 25. So 25 is basically your year where you go, okay, this is the year where – you know, I know what I cover. Okay.
Yep.
So sitting here saying to you, hey, if they're going to a 12-team playoff, 25 is the year that Illinois can do it. No, I'm not doing that. But if you continue to stack seasons at top of seasons, okay, you have to look at a year in which you don't go to Columbus and you don't go to Ann Arbor as a ability to go, yeah. I mean, that's maybe you have a third year starting quarterback in Luke Altmaier. Yeah, that's the year where Illinois becomes the dark horse candidate for a lot of national commentators that go, you know, I'm tired of talking about Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and USC in this conference. Who else is going to be able to make a difference? You'd like for Illinois to be in that conversation. And I think the success of what could happen in 23, and then if you can make sure that you're a bowl team maybe in 24, that'll do a long way to having a lot of people go, you know, that schedule in 25 for Illinois sets up pretty darn well. And yeah. And the only thing I have concern, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is that a lot of people in the coaching community, not just in the Big Ten, have told me Nebraska could be a bear by 2025.
But they will have the NIL funds because they're one of the schools that'll be at the very top.
You don't know. I mean, you're right. They're ready to rock and roll.
Have the funds now. How effectively they spend them, that's totally debatable.
And how they can develop talent and how they can develop players, and will Matt Rule's offensive coaches and his system be able to translate to Nebraska? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, as we talk, and this is a side comment here, but
sure.
As we see all these expansion rumblings, and you keep thinking that there's probably back channeling going on between ACC schools and either the Big Ten, the SEC, or both. If everything fragments again, I think Nebraska just fits better in the Big 12 or the SEC than they do geographically and kind of how they are from an academic standpoint, but I digress.
Sure. But there's a lot of feeling of uneasy about what the powder keg that Nebraska could be in a few years. If Matt Rule's success translates to Nebraska and he's never lost big anywhere he's ever been. So unless you're talking about the three-letter league and he's no longer there anymore.
Nick Saban had a trouble in that league. So
that's true. That's very, very true. When Nicholas Saban had very much a lot of trouble in the National Football League. But that schedule allows for the possibility of you to think, okay, Luke Altmaier is now a third-year starter. He's probably one of the top-tier quarterbacks returning in the Big Ten. You know, our system is in place. You would like to think that some of the developmental pieces on Bielema's roster are starting to come together. That's okay. This is something where we can make something out of this. And
right.
So I have a lot of optimism for 25 based off of potential success in 23. And then not having the floor completely fall out from under you in 24 that, or in 23. That's so optimally important right now for Bielema to be able to, as he says, stack days, stack seasons.
So one last thing before we mm-hmm. get out of here, one thing is, you look, anybody who has any misconceptions that the dollars at stake in football are big, 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 take a look at the coaches in this conference with Bielema, three Big Ten championships. You got Kirk Ferentz out in Iowa. You've got Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. PJ Fleck has built that team up at Minnesota. Matt Rhule in Nebraska. Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. You obviously got Lincoln Riley and Chip out at UCLA and USC. You've got, obviously Penn State with Franklin, Ryan Day at Ohio State, multiple Big Ten champion Northwestern. So really, when you look at it, you know, Loxley hasn't really won anything yet at Maryland. Tom Allen over at Indiana.
But they love him in the DMV, and I think Mike's doing a good job.
I'm not arguing.
I hear you.
But you know, Tom Allen's done about as good, to be honest with you. You can do it at Indiana.
The quick summary I would make, Mike, is you got 16 schools in these leagues, okay? The only school that I think feels uneasy about their head coaching situation right now is in Bloomington. And
yeah,
that's
I agree.
It. 15 other schools feel pretty good about who's leading their program.
Yeah, Mel Tucker, you know, Greg Schiano had tremendous success at Rutgers the first time around, and Ryan Walters, the nation's best defensive coordinator, is now stepping up to Purdue. So you look at this, and to me, that's how you can tell that the competition is hot and heavy. And when you, even in the NFL, when you see a tough division, you know that it's stacked with good coaches. And this Big Ten, is, for the first time in my life, I feel like the coaches in the Big Ten can stack up with the coaches in the SEC.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. And the other thing I thought that was, at least I thought, please, the one thing that made me happy, and I've said this before, but as a fan and somebody that wanted fun injected into this, okay, I wanted Purdue and Illinois to be a permanent. And the reason is because I think that thing has the potential to be really, really fun for the people on the outside. I think for the people in those two buildings, yeah, it could get really, really, let's just say, interesting. And it could get really, really competitive. And it already has, let's just be honest. And I think it could get a little awkward. It already has. But for the people on the outside of the building like me, I wanted fun. And I think that when you look across at what Purdue's staff looks like, okay, a lot of those people were orange and blue last year, okay? And they got to recruit against each other 365 days a year because they're all going after the same type of kids. And so I think playing Purdue, and if you're Purdue, playing Illinois every year, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun for those two staffs to go at each other every single year, because every single day in the recruiting game, they're going at each other anyway. So,
yep.
And you know that those two staffs, I'll put it to you like this. Brett Bielema said the minute that Ryan was going to go interview at West Lafayette, he was like, damned if my luck that it ends up being Purdue, because he knew Ryan was going to be a head coach.
Exactly.
And so I think it's fun that those two guys get to go at each other, because that's just how this should work. And I think that I thought that was fun. I think he and Fitz have a really good relationship and have a really good competitive zest to the whole thing, to the hat game. I was glad that that continues. And then what it looks like to me is that I also want to say this, and Mike, you can talk to this a little bit more than maybe even I can, but I was happy in these first two schedules that the California school is playing Illinois. Now Illinois is going to the Coliseum in 24. And then UCLA is coming to Champaign in 25.
Yep.
The reason I thought that was important, and maybe I'm off base here, but I don't think I am, is that I think it's a very, very under, I've talked to Cassie Arner about this specifically. it's always underestimated how many people are U of I alums out in California. And I think that we have people on our boards, Mike, here at Illini Guys, that are pretty jazzed about the idea that, hey, I live out in California and I subscribe to you guys and I get to watch Illinois on the Big Ten Network now. And I've already had people on our board say, hey, I'm going to that game at the Coliseum. I'm 24. Cause I remember the game in 89 and I haven't gotten to go to an Illinois game since. Right. Yep. Maybe you can get Buckus out at that game at the Coliseum. He lives out in California. It'd be an easy game for him to make the trip to. I can't wait to do the retrospective coverage of that game. Cause I was 5 years old when Jeff George went down to the Coliseum and won that game. And I had forgotten until today. And I was texting with Kent Brown, the recently retired SID, about how that game in 89 in the Coliseum was actually supposed to be in Moscow. Like, if you remember, like, everything that happened there, that game was supposed to be played in Moscow, Russia, and it ended up at the Coliseum. I know a lot of people, and Mike, I'll let you end on this, is that there are a lot of people, you talk about Silicon Valley all the time, but there are a lot of people in California and specifically the LA area that have degrees from the University of Illinois. And they're pretty jazzed about the idea that Illinois is going to be playing games out on the West Coast and or the West Coast premier schools of the Pac-12 are now in the Big Ten and going to play games against conference games against Illinois.
Yeah,
I thought it was really cool that in 24 and in 25, the California schools were somehow involved in Illinois' schedule.
Yeah, the biggest challenge with USC is Illinois is a whopping 11-2 on the wrong side of that. They beat USC in the initial meeting,
sure,
back in 1935. So that was a 19-0 win, and then really that 1989 game, 14-13, is the only luck that Illinois had with USC. So it's a rivalry that is one that Coach B isn't going to care about the past. He's going to worry about the today and going forward. So should be a lot of fun. And we would love to see, you know, again, some of those folks, you know, want to get involved in NIL. If you're out on the left coast, two things you need to do. One is, you know, is you get a hold of Illinois Icons or Illinois Guardians, or, you know, again, send something to me, Mike@IlliniGuys.com, if you need help getting to the right people. And then the second thing is join Illini Guys and be a member so that you can see what's going on behind the scenes, get involved. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. And by the way, we've kept our price despite the inflation. We've kept our price at the $99 a year that we started at. We aren't up in the 120s and 130s. So we would love to have people come on board, and you grab those, go into the message boards, and you can go on the message boards. You can talk with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, Matt Stevens, myself, and Larry, and a ton of Illini fans go back and forth every day talking about, you know, this, that, the other thing. We argue about everything. And you know, you can get involved. So go ahead and do that. Of course, IlliniGuys.com also offers, we have a family of podcasts. You can listen to Sturdy for 30, Ked's Recruiting Roundup, and Eye on the Illini, like you're doing right now. And we also have our two radio shows, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, that you go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button. You can see all the stations across Illinois, like 23 signals that you can pick out which one you want is closest to home, find out what day it's on, Friday or Saturday, find the time and tune in. You can do the same thing on our other show, Big Sports Radio, which is across the U.S., actually out in L.A. we have a station. So we're all ready for USC and UCLA. You can get your Big Ten fix out there. Do the same thing. Go to BigSportsRadio.com, hit the radio button. You can do the same thing. And both of those podcasts are released at 12 noon on Saturday after all of our stations have aired the show. So, you know, come and look at us. I think we can make it a good time, and we don't talk politics. We just talk sports. We have a lot of fun. If you're an Illini fan or if you're a Big Ten fan, we're kind of the place to be. So with that, thank you so much, Matt, for coming on the show today. And this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and we will talk to you later. And of course, everyone, go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.